All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. Ezekiel, chapter 8. We have been, on Wednesday nights, doing something a little different. Folks have been sending me or writing down and handing to me or stopping me in the hallway and asking me questions. And so I've been trying to answer those questions. Some of them have been quick, easy answers, and I've just answered them right there on the spot. But some of them have been a little bit more complicated and demanded a little more attention. And I was able to have been able to incorporate the entire Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, to the question, and such is the case tonight. I was asked the question, where does the word Easter come from? Where does the word Easter come from? I'm going to try to answer that for you tonight. People want to know, and this was also in the question, why is Easter not the same Sunday every year? It changes every year. Next year, it's late in April. It's just about as late as it can be next year. So that means we're in for even a longer winter next year. Yes, I'm afraid so. I'll explain all that in just a moment to you as to how that works. But that's the question. All right, now tonight, I want us to read, starting in verse 7 of this chapter, Ezekiel 8. And I want you to understand that Ezekiel was a prophet during the time when the Babylonians came and conquered the city of Jerusalem, when they took over the temple and brought their men in and kicked the priests, the Jews, out, and when they started doing their worship of their god and gods in the temple, in Israel's temple. All right, I want you to think of what an abomination that would have been for strangers, for foreigners to come in to the Jewish temple. Oh my, that would have just been a terrible, terrible abomination. And you can get that idea from what is discussed here, beginning in verse 7. All right, so look at verse 7. It says, "And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door." All right, now all this is a vision that Ezekiel is receiving from God. All right, just remember that. Now look at verse 9. "And he said unto me," so there's a door, "and he said, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here." All right, now let me just tell you, he is seeing the temple. And God is enabling him to look inside Israel's temple, Solomon's temple, at what was going on in the temple. And when he opened that door and was enabled to see what was going on, God pointed out to him, what's going on here, Ezekiel, is an abomination. It is terrible. All right? So that's basically what he's saying. Verse 10, "So I went in and saw, And behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. So he went into the temple. Now, you know that under the law which God gave to Moses and the instruction about the tabernacle, and that instruction then transferred to the temple, you know that there was no idolatry. There were no idols set up in the temple. There were no images. There were no statues. There was nothing that a person could or would worship. Nothing. Okay? So when Ezekiel looked in to see what the Babylonians were doing once they conquered Jerusalem, God said that what was going on was an abomination. And they had all these idols in there. They had all these images of beasts and of creeping things. They made idols out of probably serpents and lizards and anything else they could fashion an idol after. So Ezekiel was just devastated. All right, look at verse 11. And there stood before them, in other words, before the idols, 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, every man with his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, God said to Ezekiel, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients, what the old folks, all right, what the gray heads, all right, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. All right, so he's coming now into the house of the Lord. He's coming into God's house. All right, and he sees these women weeping before this statue, before this image of that is named Tammuz. Now I'll tell you about Tammuz in just a little bit. So verse 15, then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Hast thou seen this? Can you not hear how disgusted God is? It's like he's tapping Ezekiel on the back, on his shoulder, and said, Ezekiel, have you seen this? Have you seen what they're doing? Hey, folks, have you seen what churches are doing today in the name of God? You know, the Easter Bunny coming in on helicopter? Come on. You're using the Easter Bunny coming in on a helicopter and to give out chocolate? That's what you're using to get folks to come to church? Oh, man. An Easter egg hunt. Well, we're having preaching here Sunday. I don't know, just so you know, all right, in case you were wondering. Look at verse, hast thou seen this? Verse 15, O son of man, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the, what's the next word? East. And they worshipped the, what's the next word? Sun. They had their faces to the east and they were worshiping the sun. Now, they were Babylonians, and so you should not be surprised that that's what they were doing. They were Babylonians, all right? But they had their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, "Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and they have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them." All right, let's pray real quick. Our Father, I pray now that you will bless and help us as we look at the question tonight about Easter and why it's called Easter. And Father, help us just to understand tonight. I pray that you will help me as I explain all this, and just give us, Father, clear minds and clear hearts so that we'll receive the things of the Lord with gladness this evening. Bless now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I want us to just think here for a few minutes about this matter of Easter. Where does Easter come from? The word Easter is found in the Bible one time, and that's in the book of Acts. And if you'll remember in that passage of scripture, and I preached on it probably about 7-8 years ago when we were studying the second coming of Christ on Wednesday nights. And King Herod, this is in the book of Acts, King Herod had arrested James. All right, James, the brother of John. Remember James and John, Peter, James and John, the inner circle. All right, James and John, they were brothers. And King Herod arrested James. James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Okay? He was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And Herod had James killed with a sword. He had him executed. And he also, shortly after James's death, he arrested the apostle Peter. He had Peter arrested and had Peter in jail. Now, according to that passage of scripture in the book of Acts, Peter was arrested during the Passover week. All right? During the Passover week. You had Passover, and then following Passover was a 7-day celebration called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And it was during that feast when Peter was arrested. And Herod's intent was to wait until the Jewish feast was over, and then the celebration of Easter was over. Now that's what the passage says in Acts 12. It's talking about the Passover, and then after the Passover, the celebration of Easter. And when Easter was finished, Herod was then going to bring the apostle Peter to trial, and Peter was going to be executed by King Herod. All right, now understand this about the Herods. Herod was an Edomite. He was not a Jew. He was from Edom, and he was a mortal enemy of the Jews. he was appointed by the Romans to be the king in the land. And Herod and all of his family, we're talking about Herod the Great, who was the Herod during the time when Christ was born, and then all the other Herods that came along, every one of them, they were just pagan men. They were heathens. The Jews looked at them. Down in West Virginia, we would say heathrens. All right, heathrens. I don't know if that's a word, but that's what they say down in West Virginia. A heathren. That's what Herod and his family were. They did not believe in the God of the Bible. They did not believe in Jehovah God. No, sir. They served the false gods of the Babylonians. Now, today, the Christian church, and I use that term loosely, the Christian church honors the resurrection of Jesus from the grave with a designated Sunday, and they call it Easter. It is called Easter. Now, how is Easter determined? Well, here's how all that happened. In 325 AD. All right, now, what year is it right now? It's what? 2018. All right, so go back in 325. So we're talking a long time ago. You with me? 325, right after Constantine organized the church, quote unquote, the Catholicism. All right? He did not organize us. He organized the world's church, Catholicism. All right? You say, well, then where did we come from? We came out of Acts 2. That's where we came out of. All right? Think about it. Believing the Bible. That's where we came from. That's our descendancy. All right? So in 325, right after Constantine did his thing and organized the church, they had what they called the Nicene Council. And you've heard about that. You've read about that. And you remember that from history class if you were awake. Okay? And in 325, the Nicene Council made a decision, and here was their decision. They decided that they were going to designate the first Sunday, or the Sunday that follows the first full moon that occurs on or after March the 21st. That's how it's determined. All right, now, if you remember, just last week we had a full moon. Remember that? You probably couldn't see it because we've had this lovely weather, judgment weather that we've had. But there was a full moon just last week. And so that's why Easter is this coming Sunday. It is the first of the Sunday that follows the first full moon that occurs on or after March the 21st. And folks, that's why Easter is always on a different Sunday each year. It's never the same date. Now, Christmas is what? December the 25th. That's an established day. That's worldwide. But Easter is always the Sunday that follows the first full moon that occurs on or after March 21st. Okay? So, Easter is what they decided to call it. They called it Easter. All right? Now, folks, listen. In your Bible in the book of Acts. In the first century, Luke tells us that Herod arrested Peter. He had already killed James, and he arrested Peter during the feast of the unleavened bread. And as soon as Easter took place, he was going to then bring him to trial and execute him. Okay? So what were they celebrating? Were they celebrating what we are going to celebrate this coming Sunday? No. No. They were celebrating an ancient Babylonian holiday that was designed to honor a false deity called Astarte. Astarte. Star. What is our sun? It is a star. And what were they doing here in Ezekiel? These Babylonians were putting their backs to the Holy of Holies. They were putting their backs to God, and they were looking in the direction of the sun, and they were worshiping the sun. They were saying, "Fooey on God, we're going to worship our God in God's temple." And God said, "That's an abomination that you would do that." All right, so everybody follow me now? They were not celebrating the resurrection of Christ in the first century. No, that did not become a holiday. That did not become recognized until 325 AD at the Nicene Council. You say, "Well, Pastor, when did they celebrate the resurrection?" Every Sunday. Every Sunday, just like we do. Every Sunday we gather in here and we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have church on Wednesday night, because Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday. How many of you know that for a fact? Raise your hand. I've taught it to you, right? How in the world do you get 3 days and three nights out of a Friday crucifixion? Huh? How many hours are in a day? I'm not trying to trick you, folks. I'm trying to get you to think. There are 24 hours in a day. All right? So if it's a Friday crucifixion, all right? So Saturday, that's 1 day, and Sunday, that's 2 days. It doesn't fit. Jesus was in the grave how many days? Three. And how many nights? Three. And so he was crucified on Wednesday, placed in the ground before 6 o'clock on what we would call Wednesday evening. And at 6 o'clock on that Wednesday, it became in Israel Thursday at 6:01. The Jewish day goes from 6 to 6. It still does. Even to this day in Israel, their day goes from 6 to 6, 24 hours. Ours goes from midnight to midnight. But theirs goes from 6 to 6. And so the Lord could not have been crucified on Friday. You say, "Well, what about Good Friday?" In my opinion, every Friday is a Good Friday. Don't you agree? Christ was crucified on Wednesday, not Friday. All right, so I've just opened up a can of worms right there, I'm sure. But it's true. I've told you this before. I'm pretty sure I told you. In the first church that I pastored, you know, being the new kid in town, you know, being a new guy in town, I got invited. I got a phone call from some guy. I don't even remember who he was now, but he said that they were having service on Good Friday. And since I was the new guy in town, wanted to know if I'd speak. And I said, well, sure, I'd be glad to. He said, if you could take about 10, 15 minutes. And I said, well, I'll try. No guarantee, but I'll try to do that. And so he said, now you can speak on whatever you want. And I said, okay. He said, but now it's a Good Friday event. I said, I got that part. Got that. So I went, and my subject was, why all this happened on Wednesday. You know, I thought they would have been delighted to learn the truth. Oh, how shocked I was. So naive. But anyway, point being, Christ was crucified on Wednesday, placed in the ground, and then Wednesday to Thursday, day one, Thursday to Friday, day two, Friday to Saturday, day three, and sometime after Saturday, 6 o'clock, which at 6:01, it becomes the first day of the week, Sunday, somewhere after 6:01 on Saturday evening to us, our Lord came out of that tomb on the third day. Clear as mud? Everybody got it? I'm telling you, folks, if we just think a little bit, you say, well, wait a minute, you mean the Catholics got it wrong? Duh. You think? They got everything else wrong. Why not that? All right, now Easter is just one of four big religious holidays that occur in April. Okay? The Jews, they celebrate Passover. The Christians, they celebrate Easter. The Buddhists celebrate the birthday of Buddha. And the Muslims celebrate the last day of the Hajj. That's the pilgrimage where they go to Mecca. Now, Easter, as we know it, was not put into the regular church holiday calendar until 325. So don't ever forget that. And from that day on, the Christian church has celebrated Easter. Okay? So you say, well then, Pastor, what was Herod... what were they celebrating in the book of Acts when it talked about Easter? What were they celebrating? If it wasn't the Christian holiday, what were they celebrating? Well, Herod, being a heathen, being a pagan, being an Edomite, he certainly was not celebrating the resurrection of Christ. All right? He wasn't at all. What he was celebrating was the pagan Babylonian holiday of Astarte. A-S-T-A-R-T-E. Astarte. Easter after Ishtar. Astarte, depending on where you are in the chronology of time. But Easter is a derivative, it is an anglicizing of that god Astarte, Ishtar. All right, so Astarte was the fertility goddess of pagan Babylon. And you ready for this? She was called the goddess of the spring. The goddess of the spring. You ready for this? She was believed to have had these little bunny rabbits that laid eggs. Hey, you want to know where it all comes from? I'm telling you. Now, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, look it up. You got a computer. You got an iPad. You say, Pastor, where do you find this? Look it up. Google it. Safari it, or whatever your search engine is. Look it up, and you will read for yourself that what I'm telling you is out there. But nobody wants to know this. Nobody wants to hear this. I mean, she was supposed to have had these little bunny rabbits that laid eggs. And this was to symbolize and signify new life. And the coloring of eggs was to signify new life as the winter was over and spring had come. And everyone colored eggs in pastel bright colors to signify their wish for a bright new year ahead. And by the way, none of this is in the Bible. None of it. None of it. As something that the church is to practice. So don't hold your breath that Church of the Open Door is going to be having a helicopter bring the Easter Bunny in. That ain't happening. And don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. We're not going to do it. We're going to have church, and we're going to honor the resurrected Savior. So, who is this Astarte? Well, hang on. It gets gooder. All right, you ready? In Babylonian literature, Astarte is called, brace yourself now, the Queen of Heaven. Don't look at me like that. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what she's called. In Babylonian literature, she is called the Queen of Heaven. And she is worshipped throughout the Old Testament and is still worshipped today in several different religions. This pagan mythology was the foundation upon which much of Roman Catholicism was built. Mary was given the title, the Queen of Heaven. Wonder where they got that. Where did they get that idea? Certainly did not get that idea from this. Where they got it from was Babylonian literature, the Queen of Heaven. And there's a great deal of evidence to support the proof that Islam had its roots in this false mythology that has gripped the entire Middle East. As a matter of fact, there's a strong argument for that, and I gave you a lot of that back in 2010. Now, let's think about some of this. All right? Folks, I have said to you many, many times that everything God has, the devil has a counterfeit for it. Everything. All right? Don't forget that. The devil does one thing. He twists. He turns. He corrupts. He copies. He spins to counterfeit all of God's perfect gifts. Now, the word East in your Bible, I hope you'll take some time and get you a concordance and look up the word East and read all the times you find the word East in your Bible. It is mentioned multitudes of times. For example, in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says it was eastward, according to Genesis 2:8. Eastward. In Numbers 2 and verse 3, God told Aaron and Moses that when the 12 tribes pitched their tents, they were to place their standards, their flags, on the east side toward the rising of the sun. Our sun is a star. We know that now, don't we? Thanks to modern technology, we know that our sun is a star. It rises in the morning and it rises in the east. It gives light, it gives warmth, and it gives life to the earth. God created the sun to rise in the east every morning. Every morning. Now, I know there's a lot of teenagers that think that it just magically, poof, comes out there about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. No, it gradually rises every morning. All right? Every morning as the earth spins on its axis around the sun. Every morning. And it's that sun rises upon this planet from the east. And there are multitudes of verses in the Bible that tell us about the east and associate the east and the rising of the sun with our Redeemer. Take your Bible and go back to Isaiah 59. Go back to Isaiah 59 for just a minute. Isaiah 59. Look at verse 19. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." All right, so right there in that 19th verse, we see that his glory, our Lord's glory, notice that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah God, all right, the God of the covenant, the I Am, and Isaiah said that his glory from the rising of the sun. All right, go over to chapter 60. Just one chapter over. Look at verse 1. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." See the language here? Arise, shine, light, glory, risen. Do you see the language there? Comparing Christ to the sun. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Then verse 3, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Notice the words arise and shine and light and glory and risen. Notice those words. Go over into the New Testament to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 19. I'm going to wait on you to get here because I want you to see this. Everybody got it? 2 Peter. It's right after 1 Peter. All right, you can't miss it. All right, look at chapter 1. That's the first chapter. Verse 19. And Peter says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a," what? "Light that," what? "Shineth in a," what? "Dark place." Now watch. "Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And the day star arise in your hearts. Who's the day star? Christ. Christ. Jesus is the day star. What is our sun? Folks, it's a star. When it comes up each morning in the eastern sky, it is the only star we can see. Now, you stand out in your yard in the daytime and look all you want. You can't see any other stars. You only see the stars at night. What is our star? The sun. And when that sun comes up, it comes up in the east and it gets light. And you can stand out there and where'd the stars go? They are gone. You cannot see them because of the light from our sun, from our star. Okay? And Peter here is speaking of the fact, don't miss this now, get this. Peter is speaking of the fact that we have a Bible that is light for us. And we ought to read it, and we ought to believe it, and one of these days, we're going to see the real, true day star come to reveal everything to us clearly. The day is coming when our day star is going to show up, and we'll see all things clearly. Before I moved here, and I don't do it anymore. I don't know that I could do it now, but I used to hunt religiously. I used to hunt gun, bow. I mean, I'd jump out of a tree with a knife if I had to, you know. I mean, I just grew up hunting, and I loved it. But then I moved here, and I don't have time to do it now. But man, I mean, you sitting in that tree stand in the morning, and it's dark, and it's cold. That's one reason. That's another reason I don't go hunting anymore. It's cold out there, and it's early. It's way too early. I just don't like to get up early. You know that. And so you're sitting in that stand, and all of a sudden it's dark, and you hear stuff, and you go, "Oh boy, that's got to be a deer. Oh, that's got to be a turkey. Listen to that. That's got to be a turkey coming out of that tree." And you're sitting there, but you can't see. You can't see. Why? Because it's dark. And then it starts getting more light and more light, and it gets more light and more light, and then all of a sudden and what you heard was a chipmunk. You know? What you heard was a turtle. I heard a turtle one time. No, I didn't shoot the turtle, no. I was sitting in a tree stand one time, and a great horned owl flew right up and landed not 10 yards in front of me on a branch. I did not move. I mean, I just was sitting there, and that great horned owl, and it landed on a branch right not 10 yards in front of me. And I just sat there, and it sat there and hooted a little bit. Oh, it was an awesome sound. Just, ooh, I can still hear it. I hear it down in your sternum. And that thing turned its head and turned it all the way around and it just looked at me, and it thought, "You ain't supposed to be here." And it turned that head and took off. And it went down and it turned around, faced me, and was looking back up. "You ain't supposed to be there. I wasn't supposed to be there." I mean, he definitely knew that I was not supposed to be there. I'm telling you something, folks, that light makes a difference. And there's, you know, you all have a lot of questions, don't you? You know, it's an amazing thing. The questions just keep coming. You say, "Pastor, how long are we going to do this?" When you quit asking questions. The questions just keep coming. You got a lot of questions. Folks, do you realize the day is coming when your questions are going to be answered completely? You will know even as you're known. Isn't that awesome? You say, "Well, Pastor, how'd you learn all this stuff?" Same way you're going to learn it. You keep reading. You keep reading. You keep reading. That's how, I mean, I'm sitting there reading Ezekiel, and I thought, what are these guys doing? What are they doing? Why is God upset with them? And then I got to digging around and found out these were Babylonians that were in there looking towards the rising of the sun. And God said, "No, you don't worship the sun. You worship the Son of God." But you see, the devil, he's just going to do everything he can to get you off the Son of God. And all he does is change one vowel from a O to a U. That's all he did. "Oh, no, don't worship the sun. Worship the sun. What? Worship the sun, that thing. See how it's coming up in the east? Worship that. Have you not read all the times God uses the word east in the Bible? Why, that's your God. That's your God. Oh, the devil's slick. He is so slick. Every day, folks, think of this. Every day the sun rises to remind us of Jesus. Every day. Every day. Every day God gives us a reminder of his promise of a Redeemer. When Jesus comes in the Bible, when he comes in the Bible, he is always coming from the east. Always. When they built the temple, the main gate was the eastern gate. When Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem 1 week before he was crucified, he entered through the golden gate, through the beautiful gate, through the eastern gate. And when he comes again, he will sit down upon the Mount of Olives and come into the city through the eastern gate. Think about it, folks. Every day the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. Isn't it amazing that when the sun sets in the evening, the sky turns from blue to red. Blood red. God giving us a picture of his blood, of the blood of his lamb covering the whole earth. And then the darkness follows that, and we see the night, a picture of Jesus going down to hell to take the keys from the devil. And then the darkness of the night is shattered by the rising of the sun, a picture of the Son of God resurrecting out of the darkness of sin, death, and hell for us. So the east plays an important part in God's wonderful plan of redemption. So I don't think any of us ought to be surprised that the devil would take this beautiful picture of God's redemptive plan for mankind and corrupt it and twist it and turn it around to make it to make some false foolishness that would capture the hearts of men and lure them away from the truth. Go to the book of Malachi, the very last book in your Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4. I got to quit. Malachi. Go to Matthew, go back one book. That's what I was going to say. All right, Malachi 4, and look at verse 2. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, verse 2 of chapter 4. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the, what? S-U-N. Son of righteousness. Arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. This is, of course, prophetically speaking about the battle of Armageddon and how the Lord is going to come like the sunshine. He's going to come like with healing in his wings. Here, the east is pointing to the resurrection of the Son of Righteousness coming again with healing in his wings. Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. And the promise is that he is returning to remove the darkness from this old world and to bring light. So this pagan religion that worshiped the sun was nothing more than the devil's corruption of the good and perfect gift of Jesus Christ. Folks, God only gave us three perfect gifts. He gave us his Son, he gave us his Spirit, and he gave us his Word. Three, the number of completion. And this is describing that perfect gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's no wonder that the devil would want to corrupt that. In Babylon, the goddess was Astarte. With the Philistines, the god was Baal. Baal, the sun god. In Egypt, it was Isis. In Phoenicia, the goddess was Ishtar. And then there was another one called Molech. All different names of the same counterfeit religion that was inspired by the devil, given by the devil to deceive men. And boy, has he deceived a lot of men. So that's what Ezekiel is doing. He is exposing this worship and God's hatred of what they were doing. All right, so that's where Easter came from. Everybody got it? You want to test on it? See how you do? Does it make sense? Does it make sense to you? I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. Well, I tell you, the devil's slick, isn't he?